Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers signed Tony Gonsolin to a two-year extension. We'll get into all the details. Freddie Freeman talked about the Dodgers and the NL West and how they're still the team to beat. And then we look at some comments from Clayton Kershaw and Max Muncy about last year's playoff loss. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube by searching for Locked On Dodgers. And if you never want to miss a day, because you know we're not going to unless it's extreme circumstances happen, but even then we made it up, you can subscribe in both those places and that'll help you out. We are both lifelong Dodger fans. I'm Vince Samperio. If this is your first time listening or watching, that's my co-host Jeff Snyder. And we're both lifelong Dodger fans that cover the Dodgers, have spent time in the press box, in the locker room, all over Dodger Stadium. We're not quite insiders, but we're here to bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And that's what we're here to do today. We actually have some things to talk about, which is refreshing. There's some news, and then there's some comments, and then there's some more comments, and we're going to comment on those comments. So first things first, Tony Gonsolin signed a two-year extension, avoiding arbitration, $6.65 million. There are some incentives in 2024 that can make that up a little higher. I don't know if we've seen the exact figures for that, but all in all I know we talked, or maybe it was my solo episode. We talked about Max Muncy. We talked about Tony Gonsolin, and it reminded us of Max Muncy and someone else, I believe, before, where they didn't come up with the deal and they ended up signing the extension. I know the last time when it was Muncy, I expressed discontent on Twitter, and then the Dodgers made me look bad, and I learned my lesson, although I didn't see that from everyone this time around, but it doesn't matter. It all worked out. Tony Gonsolin's around for the Dodgers and pretty cheap.
Yeah, and we do have all the details, and the details are actually pretty interesting because Gonsolin is only guaranteed $3.4 million in 2024. He'll make $3.25 million this year, $3.4 million next year, but this year he can earn quite a few escalators for his 2024 contract. He doesn't have any bonuses for this year, but if he makes 28 starts in 2023, his 2024 salary will jump by $3 million because he has $500,000 escalators, and there are six of them available, each at 14, 16, 18, 20, 24, and 28 starts. And they call them points, not starts, because a start counts as a point, or a relief appearance of at least 3 1/3 innings. So basically, if he's in a piggyback situation or they go with an opener or whatever, as long as he gets his bulk innings in, that counts towards his escalators. And so Gonsolin, like, I would think 24 starts is almost, you know, unless he has a serious injury, 24 starts seems like would be the minimum. And that's an extra $2.5 million tacked on. 28 starts seems perfectly reasonable if he's healthy. He'd have to be healthy basically all year to do that. But he could do it. So that could earn him an extra $3 million. And then if he gets votes in the Cy Young voting, he can raise 2024 salary also. If he finishes fourth or fifth, his 2024 salary goes up by $500,000. If he finishes second or third, it goes up by $625,000. Or if he wins the Cy Young Award, his 2024 salary goes up by $1.125 million. And so could potentially make as much as like just over $7.5 million in 2024. That would require winning the Cy Young Award, but even without winning the Cy Young Award, just having kind of the season they're hoping for from him, he's going to make $6.4 million in 2024.
Yeah. And for the, you know, the details, maybe most people, I hadn't seen them yet, definitely. And maybe most people haven't seen them because I had seen some tweets about, you know, why would Gonsolin do this deal? He filed for $3.4 million. The Dodgers filed at $3 million. At the very least, even if he got the $3 million, you would expect he's going to get a bump more than, you know, 3 points. He'd get, be making more than $3.6 million in 2024, assuming he had another, you know, solid to decent year. So it was a question of, oh, why would Gonsolin do that? Well, you know, he is betting on himself a little bit. He's helping out the Dodgers a little bit. And, you know, it works out. He's getting some guaranteed money. You don't, you know, with a guy like Tony Gonsolin, with the pitcher in general, you never know what's going to happen and you never know if you can get hurt. And, you know, there's security in $6 million guaranteed with a little bit more on top of that guaranteed if you continue to pitch well. And you would assume as a competitor and as a player, he believes he's going to do that and pitch well. And it just made sense all around. But yeah, I mean, yeah, did maybe he lose a little bit potentially if he has a really good year again this year? Maybe, but if he hits a lot of those escalators, he'll be fine.
Yeah, and they're easily achieved escalators. And so really, I mean, especially the first couple, you know, even if he's hurt half the season, he makes 16 starts, he gets an extra $1 million. You know, it's really, really easy to hit a lot of these escalators. I'm interested to see, I wish I had thought to look this up before we started recording, as far as how this works towards the luxury tax, because luxury tax is based on the average annual value of a contract. And this contract, the average annual value is, you know, just over $3.3 million. But if he hits those escalators, his salary for 2024 goes up, which means that the average annual salary would have gone up. And because luxury tax isn't calculated until the end of the season, I'm interested to figure out, so say he earns $3 million in escalators, would his, would the average annual value of the contract go up by $1.5 million? And so an extra $1.5 million of that counting towards the Dodgers luxury tax this year, or would the entire $3 million, extra $3 million, obviously at some point that extra $3 million is going to count against them for the luxury tax. I just don't know if half of it would count this year and half of it next year, or if all $3 million would count next year because the original AAV is what it is.
That is interesting. Yeah, and I'm sure Jeff will find it at some point, if not by the end of this episode. So that's all we can hope on. But yeah, I mean, it's – I prefer when the Dodgers don't go to arbitration with any of their players, don't actually go there. They've done that for the most part over the last, you know, 10, 15 years. And this one's just another example of the Dodgers doing what they need to do, getting it done. And, you know, if you were unnecessarily worried about it, you don't have to be now.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was never really much reason to be concerned. Even, I mean, even if they go to arbitration, it doesn't have to be a adversarial process. Some teams make it one, but yeah, the Dodgers hardly ever go to arbitration. And I never really thought they were going to go arbitration with Gonsolin.
Yeah. All right. Freddie Freeman was out on the Dodgers community tour. He made some comments about the NL West and if the Dodgers are still the ones to beat in the division. We're going to look at those comments and then we're going to comment on them. But first, let's talk about FanDuel, because this year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better, because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. So download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. You get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And best of all, you can add your paid winnings instantly. Check out the FanDuel app. It's fun. It's easy to use. And, you know, go put some bets on. Go put some money on Jalen Hurts scoring the first touchdown of the game. That one's free for you guys. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Oh, we're making the big bucks now. We can say Super Bowl instead of the big game. So we're good. We're good there. All right, so let's move on. Freddie Freeman was part of the Dodgers community tour, and like I mentioned, he had some comments about the NL West. So I'll read those comments, and then we'll examine them. The first quote says, "The division is still ours until we lose, right? We retook it last year. I think our team is very, very good." He went on to say, "Yes, when you lose Trey Turner, obviously everyone sees that, and losing Cody, who has been such a staple for this organization, and obviously the big red man, Justin Turner, just a special person, special player, who meant so much to the Dodgers organization. But I still love our team. We've got a really good one. When you've got Mookie Betts, Will Smith, Max Muncy, JD Martinez, and then you can just roll off of our pitching, I think we've still got a really good team." And yeah, Freddie Freeman's not lying. The Dodgers are still very good. This may be a year where they fight a little bit more for the division. You know, they've fought twice for the division, losing out once to the Giants, tying the Rockies in 2018. But other than that, they've haven't fought too hard most of these last 10 years. But yeah, Jeff, I mean, we've kind of had similar sentiments to Freddie Freeman. Obviously, he's going to be confident, but it's nice to hear, I guess.
Yeah, and it's easy to look at this offseason and see, well, the Padres, they got better. They added Xander Bogaerts, you know, a couple other guys who some people are excited about. They're going to have a full season of Juan Soto. They're theoretically going to have a full season of Fernando Tatis, unless he lost a limb cliff diving or something this offseason. You know, the Padres are most likely going to be better than they were last year, and the Dodgers are going to be worse, if for no other reason than that every team that's ever won 111 games has been worse the next year. It's really hard to do that 2 years in a row. And so, but the fact is, up until 2022, every team that had ever won 106 games had been worse the next year, and then the Dodgers weren't. But yeah, the Dodgers aren't, they're not going to win 111 games again. But, you know, if you look at what actually happened this offseason, they lost Trey Turner, they lost Justin Turner. Those are the two offensive players who were actually good last year who the Dodgers lost. They also lost Cody Bellinger, but you know, the replacements for Trey Turner and Justin Turner are JD Martinez and Miguel Vargas, essentially, in the lineup. And chances are JD Martinez and Miguel Vargas won't quite be as good combined as the Turner brothers were, but I don't think it's going to be that far off. You know, I think Martinez will be pretty close to what JT was. And then Vargas, you know, Trey didn't have his best season ever. He had a solid season. And I would expect Vargas to be within a couple wins at least on WAR of where Trey was. And then you look in center field, chances are whoever plays center field, probably James Outman, is going to be better than Cody Bellinger was last year. Definitely offensively. And, you know, Bellinger played very good defense, but overall value, I expect it to be an upgrade in center field. And so offensively, this Dodgers team could be very, very good again. And then, especially when you look at Chris Taylor had a terrible year last year. Max Muncy had a terrible half a year to start the season. If they're both healthy and effective, you know, that it's not crazy to think this Dodgers team this year could be as good offensively as they were last year. And then you look at the pitching side. They lost Tyler Anderson and Andrew Heaney from the starting rotation. The replacements for those guys are Noah Syndergaard and Dustin May. I don't think you have to squint too hard to see Noah Syndergaard and Dustin May being as good as Tyler Anderson and Andrew Heaney were, you know, and Tyler Anderson was great. I'm not saying I'm not taking anything away from Tyler Anderson. Tyler Anderson is not as talented as Dustin May or Noah Syndergaard. Talent doesn't always translate to on-field performance, of course, but I don't think it's crazy to think that the starting rotation could be as good this year as it was last year. Then you look at the bullpen and yeah, losing Tommy Canley hurts, losing Chris Martin hurts. They had Chris Martin for less than half a season. They had Canley for even less than that because of injury. And so, you know, yeah, there's Evan Phillips will probably take a step back. I don't think he's going to be bad, but it's going to be hard to be as good as he was. But all in all, the bullpen could be roughly what it was last year. And so, you know, it would take a lot of things going right, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if this Dodgers team wins 105 games this year. I wouldn't put money on that. I wouldn't predict it. If I had to guess a total, I'd put it around 97. But 97 wins is still a really good team, and maybe even still more than the Padres are going to win this year. Like, the Dodgers still have a very good team, and I think it's easy to lose sight of that because they hardly did anything this winter.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of grades are starting to come out. We saw one from Jeff's favorite writer, Jim Bowden. He gave the Dodgers a C-minus for the offseason, and you know, realistically,
Jim Bowden knows what a C-minus looks like, I'll tell you that much.
But like you said, did they lose a lot of players? Yeah. Did they lose a lot of talent? Yeah. Are they going to be able to replace that talent? They will be able to. It's a matter of if guys play up to what their potential is, and then yeah, that's going to work out for them. The other part too that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, yeah, the Padres offense is really good, or should be really good. You know, a lot of the projections are coming out, and you know, they have three or four guys in top 10, top 15, whatever it is, and projected different stats for projections. But their starting pitching isn't necessarily built to last an entire season and built to be for sure. They got Seth Lugo. They're going to try to make him a starter. Nick Martinez or one of those. Suarez, one of those guys, is also going to try to be a starter after kind of being more of a reliever last year. You know, Blake Snell, you really never know what you're going to get out of him. Yu Darvish is always the guy that's good until he's not good, and then he's not good for a little long stretch. And then they got Joe Musgrove, who's, you know, pretty solid, but it's not necessarily they have all dominant performances all around. The other bullpen might be pretty good, but Josh Hader also imploded a little bit last year in time. So they need stuff to go right as well. You know, they need a lot of stuff, not a lot maybe, but they need things to go right as well for this to work out, just like the Dodgers need things to go right for this to work out. And that's why like you said, 97 wins, that's probably a nice benchmark. That's a lot less wins than they had last year, and it's still a lot of wins, you know, compared to what other teams are expecting to do this year. So with the Dodgers, I think what you don't know is this, you know, what we don't know is what the floor is. We do know what the ceiling is, and the ceiling is another 100-win season and, you know, Miguel Vargas winning Rookie of the Year and, you know, Dustin May winning, I don't know if he qualifies for comeback player of the year, but yeah, he could. And then, you know, Noah Syndergaard bumping his value up and, you know, getting back to throwing 100 miles an hour. Like we know what the ceiling can be. We don't necessarily what the floor is. And for me, that's exciting because, you know, knowing that you're going to have one of the best teams in baseball is fun every year, but seeing it play out and, you know, you maybe lose a little bit of interest or, you know, slightly at the very least, at least toward the end of the season. And if they have to fight all the way to the end of the season, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Yeah. So I have to admit, I wasn't totally listening to everything you said. When you were talking about the Padres, did you mention that Fernando Tatis probably isn't going to be very good also? He hasn't played in a year and a half. He's coming off shoulder surgery. You know, let's ask Matt Kemp and David Wright and Adrian Gonzalez and Cody Bellinger how shoulder surgery recovery goes. And he's learning a new position. So, yeah, I saw the odds, the betting odds. Fernando Tatis has like the third or fourth highest odds in the MVP race. It's like he's going to miss the first few weeks of the season, and he's not – I don't think he's going to be bad, but he's not going to be great. And so there's so much on that. But the reason I wasn't paying attention, Vince, bouncing back to our first segment, I was reading the CBA because that's what I do for fun. And – any escalators that Gonsolin earns will go towards 2024's luxury tax, not this year's. So it is a tricky way for the Dodgers to pay Gonsolin more in 2024 without it counting towards their luxury tax this year, which would suggest to me that they are still trying to get under the luxury tax. I mentioned the other day, Fabian Ardaia had kind of thrown in the towel on that idea, said, well, when they got Miguel Rojas, they gave up on getting under the luxury tax. I don't think they've given up on that, but yeah, it specifically says that any escalators you earn don't recalculate the AAV. They just go towards the year in which they are paid. So
right. That works out. All right. We now have some comments from Clayton Kershaw and Max Muncy, but real quick, I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, Jeff. So our buddies over at Dodger Blue. They had some comments from Clayton Kershaw. Not entirely sure where they came from. He might have been at one of these Dodgers community events. But either way, he talked about last year in the playoff loss, and I'll read his quote, and then I'll read a quote from Max Muncy, similar, and then we'll talk about it. So when you have a regular season like we did, this is from Kershaw. Obviously, our expectations were a lot higher. With that said, playoffs are pretty much a crapshoot sometimes. It's not always once you get in there, you're going to win just because you have the best team on paper. That one hurt. It hurt. It was no fun to lose. It was no fun to lose to the Padres. So hopefully all of us spend a little time reflecting on what went wrong, what we want to do better, and how we can make this team get over the hump. Because obviously the talent is there. We have the pieces. It's just a matter of being a better team and how to do that. I've been thinking about it a lot, and hopefully you guys have been thinking about it a lot. End quote. Next quote is from Max Muncy. He says, that was a tough exit last year. We played poorly. They played great. They outplayed us. I don't know. I still think about it every single day about what happened in that series. We got to make sure that doesn't happen again. When that happens, like I said, I've just been sitting here thinking about it every single day. Why did that happen? What did we do wrong? And I know there's a lot of guys that are probably thinking the same thing. I know there's a lot of staff that are thinking the same thing. Front office thinking the same thing. And I know everyone's been working hard and is going to be hungry to show up for spring and make sure that doesn't happen. And I think we have all the right tools. We just got to go out there and do it. So very similar comments, right down to having the talent this year and having to go out and do it and how much it sucked losing to the Padres. And they hope guys are reflecting or guys are thinking about it, or they know guys are thinking or reflecting about it. And it's one of the more candid responses the last few years after a playoff exit. You know, usually guys either don't really talk about it or go more in cliches, and they definitely don't seem as affected. Obviously it sucks. They didn't want to lose. It sucks that they lost. But, you know, I do think the sting of it being the Padres hurts. The sting of it coming off 111 wins hurts. The sting of, you know, a couple hits here and there and the series changes, maybe even completely in the Dodgers' favor, or definitely completely in the Dodgers' favor in a couple of scenarios. So, you know, the guys are thinking about it. And that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, just because you're hurt and you're thinking about it and you're reflecting on it, you're going to come back and win the next year. But it is kind of, you know, showing that for people that think, oh, the Dodgers don't care, whatever the case, you know, there's been comments like that. Even Dave Roberts' comments about the intensity in the dugout and, you know, maybe the Dodgers' intensity could have been up more, or, you know, something to that extent of the Padres having the intensity. So they're trying to figure out why they lost. And it's not a bad thing, especially for us Dodger fans, for them to kind of figure that out. And, you know, it is a little bit of a mentality switch maybe, because the Dodgers, for all the success they've had, you know, 2017 should have been theirs, 2020, they would have had two, and it would have felt a lot better, obviously, to have two than it does to have one, especially with the one not getting the parade and everything else. But it's just, I don't know, I wouldn't say refreshing. It's just nice to hear, like these guys, you know, me and you, Jeff, know that these guys hurt more than us when they lost in the playoffs. You know, obviously it hurts us, but this is their job. This is their livelihood. Like that hurts. But I guess it's cool to hear how much it affected them and how much, you know, they're still thinking about it even now. Because even, you know, there's some days where I'm like, man, stupid Dodgers.
Yeah. And as fans, it's natural for us to want to see the pain, the same pain we're feeling. We want to see that in the players. So I think this will make some people happy that Kershaw and Muncy talked like this. And, you know, it doesn't make me feel any better or any worse, but I do. I appreciate that some people will appreciate it. And so, you know, that as far as like figuring out why it happened and everything, I was at the doctor's office last week and I'm sitting in the waiting room and there's these two old ladies. I think it was one old lady and her even older mom probably sitting, and they're in the waiting room and they're talking, and you know, old people talk loud sometimes. And so they're having this conversation, and one old lady says, so how old was Brenda when she died? She was born in 1928 and she died in 2010. So she would have been what, 88? And her daughter said, yep. And then they moved on. And for me, I thought that was a great example of sometimes finding an answer is all that matters, whether it's the right answer or not. It didn't actually matter to either of these old ladies how old Brenda was when she died. So it didn't matter that they were off by 6 years in doing their calculations, because they got the satisfaction of having an answer. So they were able to move on in their conversation. And I think there's a lot of value in that for a team like the Dodgers, where the actual reason they lost is probably like 90%. Well, I don't know. Baseball's stupid, you know, like because Will Smith's bases loaded line drive went right at the left fielder instead of to a gap. And because, you know, Manny Machado, like the Dodgers hit 18 balls right at Manny Machado, 194 miles an hour, and he caught them all. You know, like there were plenty of things where the players could have done everything exactly the same and the outcome would have been different. And that's the thing that's so hard to accept about baseball sometimes is that you can do everything right and still lose. You could do everything right and still go 0 for 20 with runners in scoring position. I'm not saying the Dodgers did everything right during that 0 for 20 stretch. I'm sure some of them were pressing at times. You know, I'm sure there were bad at bats, but not all 20 of them. And like we've talked about before, and you hinted at, if the Dodgers had gone 4 for 20 instead of 0 for 20 with runners in scoring position, they would have swept that series. It would have been a totally different thing and without doing anything different. And so I think there's probably value if these guys come in and if it motivates them and they feel like, yeah, okay, we're ready. We've identified what we need to do differently. Great. You know, it's if you're getting in your head and like trying to figure out, oh, I have no idea why we lost and it's driving me crazy. You know, if those ladies had spent any more time on how old Brenda was when she died, I would have had to step in and say, look, ladies, Brenda's been dead for 13 years. It doesn't matter how old she was, you know, but I didn't have to because it got an answer that satisfied them. Didn't matter that it wasn't the right answer. And I hope that the Dodgers can get an answer that satisfies them and lets them just play because most of the time, the more talented team is going to win. And at least on a macro level. And once you get to the micro level, there's only so much you can do. And driving yourself crazy about it isn't going to help anything.
Yeah, that's true.
RIP Brenda, by the way.
Yeah, these are the types of comparisons you get over here at Locked On Dodgers.
Just if I see some hashtag RIP Brendas on Twitter, I am going to be happy about that. And I'll know that you guys are really, really paying attention to the podcast. So tag us in all your RIP Brendas.
Yeah. The other part that, you know, and no one has mentioned yet is that the Padres are likely going to be the picks of a lot of people to win the NL West, maybe even the National League, maybe, you know, even World Series predictions. They've never really been that before, you know, expectations. While, yeah, they are all professional players. And, you know, we've talked about before how their reason they're there is a lot different, you know, then the reason maybe we're not there, not just talent, but, you know, mental strength and everything else. But it is a different mentality when you're the team, you know, people want to beat, when you're the team that people expect to win, when you have all that on your shoulders. And, you know, the Dodgers, I think that's one of the things with teams that win a lot. That's one of the things that becomes more impressive over time is you have that every single year and you're still continuing to go out and do it and win and you know, exceed expectation. Even though, you know, the Dodgers have even exceeded expectations the last few years, even though their expectations were already sky high. So that's one thing for the Padres. You know, Bob Melvin's there and he was the guy they brought in so that, you know, avoiding things of that nature after the collapse they had in 2021. But it could still happen, and that there's a lot of talent in there, but as we've seen from other teams, a lot of talent also means a lot of egos. And if things start going downhill, I mean, I don't think it'd be a big deal, but like Machado and Tatis, do we know how great the relationship is? You know, that's something that could, you know, help not be, how do guys feel about Tatis? I know, you know, Juan Soto said they'd welcome him with open arms and he's the man, but you know, you'd imagine there might be some mixed feelings about there, especially from guys like, man, if he would have not done what he did, we would have had him and maybe made it to the World Series or maybe even won the World Series. So I'm just going to throw that out there, not necessarily manifesting it, but that's something else that might be part of it.
Yeah, or the flip side, they could be thinking, we had our best season ever, made it the farthest in the postseason without him, and so why are we so excited about him coming back? And so, yeah, I think Bob Melvin is a pretty good manager of people. I think Machado has probably gained some maturity over the years. I think Soto is maybe a good calming presence in that way. So probably there aren't any of those issues, but it's definitely a possibility. The other thing I was thinking about when you were talking is those expectations, you know, that going back even to 2020, there was the talk about, you remember, like it's the pandemic season, it's quiet, and how much louder the Padres dugout was than the Dodgers. There's that Trent Grisham homer, and that game kind of like flipped a switch a little bit for the Dodgers, I think, turned on some passion. But But we've been hearing about this for three straight years now about how the Padres, they have more fire in the dugout. They have more, seem like they're having more fun and everything. Part of that is because it's easier to do that when there aren't expectations, when you are the underdog. And the Padres coming in as the favorite, they don't have that anymore. And so they're going to have to figure out a way to keep that passion and excitement and everything as the favorites, especially when they do inevitably have a four-game losing streak. And, you know, how do you keep from going off the rails when the expectations don't meet, or when the performance doesn't meet expectations? There's a lot of things that the Dodgers have a lot of experience with over the last decade of managing expectations, figuring out how to bounce back from losing streaks when, you know, when the expectations are so high and everything. And there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way for the Padres. The Dodgers were, what, their fifth season of this 10-year run before they made a World Series. And, you know, the first few years, it was like, sweet, we're in the playoffs. Oh, cool. And yeah, in the moment, like, I remember watching Jeurys Familia celebrate on the mound at Dodger Stadium after game five of the 2015 NLDS. And yeah, that sucked. But it was like, it wasn't nearly as heartbreaking as the Dodgers losing last year or even in 2019. You know, as the expectations get greater, the pressure gets more, and the frustration when you don't meet expectations gets worse.
Yeah. So, all in all, it's going to be a fun season. We're going to be in, we're in February as you guys are listening to this. So pitchers and catchers report this month. We will have better things to talk about for the Dodgers. But Jeff, you got anything else to add before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so. Just throwing up a little RIP Brenda at the bottom, just to make sure everybody remembers. I should have put the years, huh?
But. Yeah, there we go. All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia. That's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Yeah, that's also where we're available, wherever you get podcasts. And on YouTube, just search for Locked On Dodgers, which is how you can get us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us via, you know, whether you have comments, questions, concerns. I know somebody had a concern, but they're not going to know that I'm talking about them because they're not going to listen to today's episode, apparently. So that's what happens when, you know, well, we're open. We're open books for you guys. We can also be reached via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.